right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com, Super Bowl bye week edition of the show brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. I am Bobby Fenton, and we have a lot to get to today. I've got a few things on the Bucks themselves, but of course the main story, and I know doing this show later in the week, sometimes a few days have passed and it's maybe old news, but it's not old news to me. I want to talk a little bit about what happened on Sunday, both on and off the field, and how we got to our Super Bowl matchup of the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams, which I am looking forward to seeing, obviously mitigated by a few things, as we've talked about, and as we'll talk about on the show today. But thanks again for joining, all of you. I appreciate it. The Free Stretch brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, where there's tons going on right now. First of all, this just happened. They got the 2019 Consumer Satisfaction Award. Part of that is because of their lifetime powertrain warranty, new and pre-owned. You get 10 full years roadside assistance. You get one free year of oil changes. People are going over there. This is based on people that go there and buy cars and have been happy with it over and over and over for many, many years, but including most recently with Sean Sullivan, my good friend over there as the GM, and the award given out by DealerRater, again, the 2019 Consumer Satisfaction Award. They've also got the new Ford Ranger. The 2019 Ford Ranger is finally there. If you want to go check out the new models there, they've got the car show coming up. This is the classic car show. It's going to be in February on a Friday night, February the 22nd at 7 p.m. at Bill Curry Ford at 5815 North Dale Mabry Highway. A restored 1970 Boss 429 will be revealed. There'll be a bunch of other old Ford Mustangs and things like that. Should be a lot of fun. Bill Curry Ford serving the Tampa Bay area proudly for 58 years running, and they're a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, right there on the east side of the road if you want to check them out, or go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. So I was there on Sunday. I was at my house, and it actually lined up pretty well because we talked about on the show last week, one of the best single days of the year if you're a football fan, or certainly a professional football fan, is Championship Sunday. And they push it all the way back to the end of the weekend. You get all day Saturday with nothing. And some people were saying they wish they had one game on Saturday, one game on Sunday, and that'd be okay. But you get all day Saturday with nothing. Then even Sunday, you get all day. There's no early game. 3 o'clock's that first one. They play them at 6 and 6:30-ish. And my wife, my mother-in-law's a big Disney person. She likes to go to Disney a lot, you know. And Disney's fine. I have nothing against it. But I'm not a huge theme park guy. Plus, it costs an arm and a leg to go up there. And my wife was like, look, you know what? My mom's going to be over there with some of her friends. I'll just take the kids. You stay here. And I was like, hey, babe. I'll go. You know, I didn't try and get out of it. I'll go. But she's like, no, it's going to cost like 100 and whatever it is, 120 bucks just to go to the park. And for what? You know, you won't even. She's like, I'm fine. I got it. There's no need. You don't have to go. So I said, okay, you guys do it. I'll be here alone at the house watching football. And let me tell you something, you people without kids out there, and I don't mean you people in a bad way. I just mean you people who either don't have kids or you know, maybe your kids are grown or whatever, and you've gotten used to it again. Just being alone in your house is probably no big deal to you. Like, you guys just think, whatever, it's just a random day of the week. I'm alone at the house. You don't understand, or maybe you do. If you have kids, you do. Like, just to be alone at my house is the equivalent of before I got married and had kids, when I thought this was all normal. That would be the equivalent of me getting like an all-expenses-paid, like, two-day stay at some spa, getting a massage, getting all the food I want, getting just completely pampered, taken care of, everything included, everything like, that's what I would have thought was, like, a really good life when I was alone all the time. And now that I've got two young kids, just being alone for a little while is the equivalent of that. Like, I was on cloud, and I don't like being around my family, but Sunday, I was like, wait a minute, you mean I really get to just sit down and watch both these games and I don't have to do anything? I don't have to put the kids to bed like in the middle of the second quarter of one of the games, then come back down like when it's already the fourth quarter and try and figure out what I missed? No, I can just sit down. I got my phone out with Twitter, me, the TV, and the dogs, and just do whatever the hell I want, which basically amounted to watching 7 straight hours of football. And let me say this. because I'm going to get to both games and complain a little bit. We all have complaints about things that might have happened. I'll get to that. But before I get to any of that, I want to be clear, okay? Despite any complaints, I had so much fun on Sunday just watching those two games. And football is the greatest sport in the whole wide world. No other sport could deliver, what was that, 7 straight hours of just white-knuckle, edge-of-your-seat drama. And I love baseball, and there'll be some tense moments in the postseason, some late-inning situations and stuff like that. I love that, okay? I love hockey. The Lightning are about to play in the playoffs in a couple months here, and there'll be overtime game. There'll be all that. I mean, just as exciting as it gets. I'm not saying other sports aren't exciting, but no sport outside of football can deliver that kind of drama over that extended period of a time where literally every single drive, you know, I didn't care who won either game. It wasn't even like I had a rooting interest. I can only imagine. I mean, I remember when the Bucks played the Eagles, of course, in the NFC Championship. But, I mean, I didn't care who won, and yet I was living and dying with every play. And I was actually getting butterflies in my stomach watching these games just because of just how much was on the line, the pressure, how quickly it can all shift, how it looks like one team's going to win for certain. And then 10 seconds later, not only is that not true, but it looks like the other team's going to win for certain. But then neither of those things is true. I mean, it's just unbelievable drama. And, you know, people are saying this week, oh, well, the NFL got exactly what it wanted because despite bad calls or despite the overtime where only one team got the ball, the important thing is that people are talking about it. And I don't think that that's necessarily true, that controversy is a good thing just for the sake of controversy. Even without the controversy, those two games were profoundly dramatic. First time they've ever had two overtime games in the same day for the conference championship games. And I just want to say thank you, football, really. Like, I know it sounds corny, but man, I was like rapt with attention. And then the realization hit me that we've only got one more of these games left. And I mean, the human theater, the spectrum of emotions, the clutch play by some. I mean, these guys, I mean, they have cast iron nuts, okay? No matter what you think, no matter who you're rooting for, watching Greg Zuerlein go out there for the Rams, tie the game up on a, you know, whatever it was, 57-yard. The guy hit a ball to win the game in overtime that looked like it would have been good from about 70 yards or maybe more. I mean, the ball was, it was a 57-yarder. Was that the 57-yarder was the one that tied it, not the one that won it. And the ball's like sailing upward as it hits the back net, like an extra point from 57 yards out. I mean, just an absolute bomb. These guys are unbelievable. With those stakes, with that kind of pressure, and to just stick it like that, you know, watching Edelman, third down and 10, these guys going over the middle, taking hits, making clutch catches, Chris Hogan reaching out with one hit. I mean, the amount of respect I have for these guys, again, no matter what side you're rooting for, I think we take it for granted a lot. I mean, they are just playing a game, admittedly, okay? There's not a patient lying on the table. If they drop the pass, the patient doesn't die. But there's a lot on the line. This is these guys' careers, and not only their careers, but the careers of their teammates, life goals that have a chance to be realized or squandered forever. And again, the balls on these guys to make the plays they make and the situations they have to make them. I'll tell you what, I mean, I don't know how anybody could be like, yeah, this doesn't do it for me. I'm just not a football guy. I'd rather go watch something else. I mean, somebody like that, I don't understand. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying I couldn't relate to someone like that because, man, just chef's kiss. Phenomenal day on Sunday. So with that said, let's get to the games real quick. The Saints-Rams game, okay? What happened, happened. And there's no going back and changing the outcome. I understand that. People have talked about, oh, there's an obscure rule in the commissioner's rule book about he can, under extraordinary circumstances, overturn something or replay. And we know a missed call is still a missed call. And I will say this much about it, okay? It bums me out when things aren't done correctly procedurally. It's very preventable. When you miss a call in live action and you just flat out miss it, as bad as that was, and it was bad, it's a little bit more forgivable. I've seen so many times when even with the benefit of replay, they've messed something up, and I get so mad because then procedurally they did something wrong. Like, they got something wrong procedurally that they could have fixed. And I'm not making excuses for the pass interference thing, but, you know, I look at that play, and if they had called it correctly, as it's been discussed by now. I'm not going to go into the details because we've all had 4 days now, but the Saints would have won the game. Like, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, what happened, happened. It can't be changed. The Rams are the NFC champions. All that's true. But some people seem to be, it's almost like you have to take a side. Like, you're either on the side of, hey, the Saints got hosed, and it's unfair, and it's all wrong, or, hey, screw it, deal with it, what are you going to do, stop whining, the Rams are the champions, and that's that. You know, you can say both. Hey, the Rams are the champions, we can't go back and fix that. But something very unfortunate happened that is directly the reason for that. I mean, there's always those people, and here's the people that I have a problem with. There's always the yeah, but people. And whenever there's a bad call in a game, and this isn't just this particular game, but you hear this all the time. No matter how bad something is, no matter how egregious of a miscarriage of justice just took place, there'll always be the yeah, but people that go back and look at every single other thing that the team, the aggrieved team, did wrong during the game and say, oh, well, yeah, but the referees didn't kick a field goal when they had first and goal from the five. You know, that wasn't the referees that did that, so I don't understand what the problem is. Hey, listen, all those things are true. Teams make mistakes all game. Some of these people's mindset is if you don't play a perfect game, literally a perfect game, then you can't blame the officiating. So there's all, yeah, but the refs didn't throw an interception in OT. That was Drew Brees. Yeah, but the refs didn't blow a 13-0 lead. You know, if it hadn't been for that, it wouldn't have even mattered. Yeah, but the referees didn't give up the game-tying drive with just a minute left when they already had a three-point. Shut up. Like, seriously. You sound dense when you say things like that. And I'm not saying any of it's not true, but you know what? Sometimes you throw five interceptions in a game, and you still are in position to win. And then you get beat on a bad call, and you can say, yes, the bad call's the reason you lost, because you would have won even with five interceptions without the bad call. The Rams made mistakes too. And if they hadn't made that call, or missed that call, I should say, they didn't make it, then you'd be saying, oh, well, the Rams should have done this, that, and the other. You'd be saying the same damn thing on the other side. Just acknowledge, hey, yeah, if not for that call, which was wrong, then the Saints would be going to the Super Bowl. And it's tough. I mean, it's tough to both teams. I tried to think about the other day, like, what would happen if the Bucs had that happen to them on the good side? Like, what if a horrible call or a horrible no call help the Bucs advance to a Super Bowl? And there wasn't any mincing it. There wasn't any gray area. There wasn't any two ways about it. Like, what if they just got into the Super Bowl the same way the Rams did? Would it bother you as a fan? And some people are probably like, nope, wouldn't bother me. Winners grin, losers spin, right? Now, it would bother me. Like, it would taint the whole thing for me. Like, it would be harder to enjoy the Bucs in the Super Bowl because of it. It would leave, I mean, to me, it's unfair to both sides. It really is. And I'm not saying that the referee did this on purpose, but these bad calls are unfair to both. And the Rams didn't seem to care. Rams were happy. I guess they don't have a problem with it. And there's nothing they can do but play, and they won, so now they go play again. I'm not saying they should, you know, step out of the spot and say, hey, Rams or Saints, you guys take the spot in the Super Bowl. I'm not saying they should do that. But it would bother me. Like, I always have wondered what that would feel like. I know what it would feel like on the other end. We'd all be upset, just like the Saints fans are. But thinking of it from the other way, like, what if the Bucs benefited from something like that? And to me, it would feel a little weird. Like, I would really be bothered by that. And some of you may disagree. If you do, by the way, you can always email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That's bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Yeah, here was another one from Twitter the other day. This is, to me, absolutely just nuts to say something like this. I won't name the tweeter. There is no bigger loser in sports than the one who blames the outcome on officials. Yes, Saints fans, you had a really big call go against you. No, it did not make Drew Brees throw a pick in OT, nor change the numerous other opportunities you had to win the game. Stop crying. Like, just because somebody made a mistake at some other point in the game, it makes the referee thing okay. That's a terrible take. And actually, literally, yes, it did make Drew Brees throw a pick in OT. There would not have been OT without the missed call. So that's actually factually incorrect because, yes, it did make him throw a pick in OT. There shouldn't have even been OT. So all in all, what happened, happened. I was still entertained the entire time. And yes, the Saints had chances to put that game away. The Rams made mistakes too. I mean, the Rams kicked a field goal on fourth and goal from the half-yard line, which I thought was a really poor choice by Sean McVay and an uncharacteristic one, especially when you think about these calls, like on fourth and goal, you know, think about third and goal from like the 2 yard line or whatever it is. And they run up the gut and you're like, oh man, like whenever it's third and goal or second and goal from inside the five, you're like, man, they're probably going to score. If it's your team on defense, you're thinking, ah, this sucks, man. They'll probably give up a touchdown unless we get some fluke fumble or something like that. So then you make the stop on second down. Now it's third and goal from the one. You're like, oh, whatever, they're still going to score. Then on third and goal from the one, they get stuffed right on the goal line. It's at the half-yard line now. What are you rooting for as the defense? Are you thinking, oh, man, I hope they go for this again so we can stop them? Or are you thinking, oh, just please kick the field goal. Please kick the field goal. You're thinking, please kick the field goal, right? You're thinking, if they kick the field goal, we got to stop. If they go for this, they're probably going to score anyway. And, I mean, the Saints were, I would guess, probably scared to death the Rams were going to go for that. And they didn't. They settled for a field goal from the half-yard line that simply tied the game instead of giving the Rams the lead. That allowed the Saints to go down on their drive, and what would have been the game-winning drive had, again, you know, what happened not happened. But anyway, my point is there's things on both sides. You could say, oh, they did this and did that. It doesn't matter. As long as those things are between the players, I don't care. What you don't like is when a third party, like the officials, you know, has such a say in it. And I'll say this one more thing about it. You know, we're not going to belabor the officiating anymore. And this could go for the Patriots-Chiefs game, too, because there were a ton of very close... I mean, there was tons of very close, just really, really hard-to-call situations. And I sympathize with any referee in any sport because it's a difficult job. I mean, my officiating experience amounts to... What is it? I'm thinking... Oh, well, basically, I was an intramural softball umpire at the University of Florida for a couple years, my junior and senior year in Gainesville. And I actually played in the league. Like, I would play my game. We had, like, 7, 8, and 9 o'clock games. I'd play at 7, then I'd work a couple games at 8 and 9, or I'd work a couple games at 7 and 8, then I'd play at 9. And it was, like, you know, whatever it was, $8-$9 an hour. Nice little way to make money in college. Pretty low pressure, pretty fun, met girls, stuff like that. But anyway, like, even that, like, this is a slow-moving game. Softball's a pretty easy game to umpire. And even that one, like, there were probably times I missed a couple calls and there were some bang-bang plays where I had to make a quick decision and I wasn't totally sure of myself. And that's the easy end of the spectrum. Football at the professional level is an incredibly difficult sport to officiate. But people have talked about all these possible solutions and what we need to do and do we need to go to have pass interference reviewable and this and that and the other. And I come back to it every time. I've mentioned it before on this show, but we need the couch replay booth. And what I mean by the couch replay booth is think about you sitting at home on your couch whenever one of these controversial calls happens or doesn't happen. You usually know within about, what, 10 seconds what the call should be, right? Like, it's a very, I don't want to say easy, but it's a very simple, straightforward thing. Like, even the Edelman play with the, you know, did he touch the bounced punt or not? And, you know, that was a really tight play, but they showed that again after about 15 seconds of seeing those replays over and over on CBS, I determined, personally, me, Bobby Fenton, that no, he didn't touch it. So, instead of this challenge system, and instead of this complicated thing, why don't we have a group of people, I don't mean literally a couch like at home, but it should almost be like that, like a room, the replay booth upstairs, with just 3 65-inch TVs, a bunch of other 48-inch TVs, like just every TV, every angle you could want, and just a group of NFL officials, you know, 2-3 guys, whatever you want to put up there, watching the game on television just like we are at home, and they should be as able as we are to make these calls very quickly without disrupting the flow of the game. In fact, you don't even have to have challenges anymore. It can be like college football where you're just watching the game. If you see something wrong, buzz down, hey, fix that real quick. And I mean, it'd almost be like tennis. You know, I like the Australian Open right now going on. I'm a tennis guy, so I watch the Grand Slams. I've always liked the Australian Open in particular because of the time difference. So a lot of the matches are on at like 11 p.m. at night. They're just getting going, and I'm a late night person, so I like to lay in bed and watch and things like that. And it's not just the Australian Open that has this, but, you know, ball's close. They'll stop for like 6 seconds. Everybody will look up. They got the Hawkeye technology. Boom in, boom out. And they've got it down to the millimeter. I've always wondered if they really could be that accurate, but they'll have like little tiny just millimeters of the ball touching the line, and they'll be like, oh, it was in, and nobody argues. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, Hawkeye said so. And I know that's not quite the same as what you can do in the NFL, although they could make more strides technologically. But without even improving technology, right now, like right now, you could very easily just have a group of three people. Again, these could be highly trained officials. It doesn't have to be regular people, and they don't have to have a couch, although I think a couch would be nice. It would kind of just take some of the edge off it. You know, you don't want these guys to feel too much pressure. So give them a couch. And again, they're just watching the game just like all of us. And every play that happens, it doesn't have to be just every play that happens, if they see something, oh, hey, that guy, that ball hit the ground when he dove for it. He didn't have it completely secured. Buzz down, incomplete. I mean, in 15 seconds or less, you don't need to have the head referee run over, get some little tiny tablet that he's holding up with both hands. It's absurd we're doing that. And he's got the tablet, and he's holding it, and he's looking down. Who knows what the screen looks like with the glare and everything. These guys should be in a booth upstairs in a nice comfy room with no prying eyes in it and just a screen. Nobody should even know what they look like. And they can do this. I mean, you and I can do it, right? I made every call in that game from my couch, both games from my couch. And I was 100%, okay? And it's not because I'm some expert official. It's because I had the benefit of calm. I had the benefit of a large screen. And I had the benefit of quick technology showing me. I mean, we have this at home, so why does it take so long in the NFL? And I think the whole challenge thing, not that that would have applied anyway on the pass interference, but even that, you could just have those guys buzz down and say, oh, yeah, dude, that was pass interference. Boom, fix it. Or the helmet to helmet, because that's a little more technical and a little less subjective. So if you want to limit it to subjective calls only, they could do that. But anyway, on to Pat's Chiefs. And for everything about this whole situation now with the Patriots and the Super Bowl again, I've heard more people complain about it than say they're excited about it. And, you know, everybody's entitled to like what they like. But if you don't find the idea that one group of men could do what the Patriots have been doing over and over and over for years and years and years, or at least one nucleus of guys, compelling, well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I know we all like variety. I would have loved to have seen the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, okay? I'm not saying I was rooting for the Patriots, because I wasn't. But I wasn't rooting against them. I was just watching the game. Because Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, I mean, I was trying to think of the right word before the show. Like, how could I describe these two guys? Now, obviously, we know how good they are. But the word I kept coming back to was just competent. Like, these are levels of competence heretofore unseen by mortal eyes. I mean, none of us have... Like, are there any more competent people at their jobs? In anything, not just sports, than Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick is so competent that I would allow him to take over almost anything of import in my own personal life. If I was building a house, I would allow Bill Belichick to be the point man, and he'd have all communication with the builder and all the contractor. I would allow him to do that. If I was trying to plan my 7-year-old's birthday party, I would have Bill Belichick give him total control. You get the invitations printed, you decide who to invite, where to have it, food, all that. I'd give Bill Belichick total control. I mean, there's nothing at all, no matter how detailed or how intimate or whatever it is, that I would not allow Bill Belichick to run instead of me, because he's the most competent person I've ever seen in my life. I mean, just, and I'm not saying that, I mean, you know, we all benefit from luck, okay? Bill Belichick didn't make D Ford line up offside for the Chiefs, and if D Ford hadn't done that, then the Patriots wouldn't have been in. And you go back over the years to all the things that have happened. And yes, I know you make your own luck and all that. And it's true, you do. But, you know, Bill Belichick didn't make Pete Carroll throw a slant route when they could have just handed the ball off, or else he'd have one less Super Bowl. Bill Belichick didn't make, you know, all these things that have happened. The Tuck rule, that's a whole other thing. That was a long time ago. But again, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, what they are doing, we're just numb to it now. It's kind of like Tiger the first time around. I remember Tiger would be like, oh, yeah, Tiger. And I was into it and everything, but I didn't really appreciate it. And now that he's back, I'm like starving for any little shred of possibility that he could be his old self. Even though I remember him being his old self, and I just considered it the norm, and I didn't, I mean, not that we didn't think Tiger was good, but I don't remember saying, hey, soak this all in, man. This is, I mean, you're never going to see anything like this again. I was just like, whoa, yeah, Tiger, he's awesome, you know? And now that's what I'm doing. I'm like, oh, soak it in. Every time he gets anywhere near the leaderboard, he's playing today in the first round in San Diego, Torrey Pines. You know, now I'm salivating at the idea of that greatness still having a little bit left, or watching Djokovic and Federer and Nadal, who are still hanging on. Same type of thing. But with the Patriots, we're like, oh, God, the Patriots, screw it. No, I've had enough of them. And listen, I know their fans can be a little obnoxious and things like that, but the actual team, I mean, I have no problem with Belichick. I have no problem with Brady. How do you not like Tom Brady? Like, who doesn't like Tom Brady? Tom Brady loves football more than anything in the world. He loves the idea of being a football player. He's said already, you know, he knows he can't play forever, but he does want to play for even a few more years, even though he's past 40. And if he could, he would do exactly the job he's doing right now into his 60s and 70s. He loves not just the actual games. He loves the idea of the preparation. He loves just the general structure of life of being an NFL quarterback, the training, the practices, the offseason, the games, the playoffs, all of it. He loves that. And that's a really cool thing. Especially in this day and age when football, you know, has taken some lumps and there's a lot of people questioning why people would want to play football. I'm refreshed. I know Tom Brady doesn't play a position where he's going to get CTE, but I'm refreshed seeing guys like him who just freaking love it. Same with Tony Romo in the broadcast booth. I mean, Tony Romo, for as good as he is, and he was unbelievable on Sunday, spotting plays and saying, here's what's coming up and here's why, and then it happens. But you know why I like Tony Romo the best? Because he's just so happy watching football. Like, he loves football and he loves being there. And you like, you know, baseball's another one. I like baseball, but a lot of these baseball, and this is why Brian Anderson is so good for the Rays, a lot of these baseball color guys are just older, kind of staid, just ho-hum, like real business-like, and just don't want to ever get too excited about anything. And Brian Anderson for the Rays brings a lot of energy to it, and I think he's one of the better color guys I've heard. And I hear a lot because I do a lot of work with road teams as far as my TV work that I do. So I hear all these crews that come through town when they play the Rays. And I hear B.A. a lot, watching the Rays on TV. And he's fantastic. And Tony Romo's that same way. I mean, I like people who have fun and actually like the sport they're covering just for the sake of that sport, not just because it's a job. So I'm fascinated by the whole Brady Belichick thing. I can't believe they're still doing this. Every single season I talked on the show last week, I doubt that they're going to be able to do it again. And every single season I'm wrong. Every single season they have a bad loss where they look old and slow. The Lions game was the one this year where it's just like, oh, God, like, it's not happening again. These guys just look like they've just, you know, I guess they're just telling us it's time. I didn't say that out loud, but I actually thought that earlier this season. When they lost to the Lions, I was like, I don't know, man. Like, I said, I know they do this every year. I know they start out like 1-2 or 2-3 or, you know, something like that. But I don't know. I said, this just feels different. This isn't the usual Patriots. They're on the downtick. I said that. First round bye, Super Bowl, again. And it may be played out to you. It may be boring, but I'm not bored by it at all. I think it's amazing. As for the Chiefs, I can't think of a single stupider or more painful way to blow your berth in the Super Bowl than to line up offside on the Super Bowl berth clinching play of the game. I was speechless on Sunday. Like, for all the drama and everything that happened, all the back and forth in both games, then that play happens, they get the interception, and I really did think it was over. I was like, wow, the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. It was almost like that Miami-Ohio State game in 2002, the title game, where for about 8 seconds you thought Miami was the national champion before you saw the flag and realized it wasn't over yet. I'm surprised Andy Reid didn't have the Gatorade cooler dumped on him. Because I was like, wow. Like, They did it. The Chiefs slayed the beast. They took down the Patriots. They're good. For like 7-8 seconds, I thought that. Then I saw the flag, and I was like, whoa, well, this could be on New England. Let's see. Lined up in the neutral zone? Are you effing kidding me? In the fourth quarter? And listen, I've never played in the NFL. I've played a little bit. I played football in high school. I don't have like a ton of experience. I was never, you know, much more than a bench warmer, but I've played. I know this about football. When you play defensive line, usually by the fourth quarter of a game, when you've taken, you know, 50, 60 snaps, whatever it is, by then you've pretty well established where you're lining up every play. And a lot of times, like the side judge or the line judge, will, you know, in the first quarter, even into the second quarter, he'll tell you, hey, you get a little close on that one, back up a little bit. Like there's communication there where they let you know, hey, you know, that one I could have maybe thrown a flag, just back up about 6 inches for me on the next one, it'll be fine. That stuff's like, it gets worked out during the course of a game. So I don't know, I have to go back and if I cared to do this and look at the film of every defensive snap and see if Dee Ford was doing that all game and they just decided to call it then, which I'm pretty sure did not happen. Or if Dee Ford just inexplicably moved up about a half yard. Or sometimes the way the ball is, it's not, you know, the ball's the line of scrimmage, but maybe sometimes the offensive and defensive lines aren't parallel to the yard lines and they're kind of diagonal and maybe, I have no idea. I know this, if I was a Chiefs fan, if I was a Chiefs player, or if I was Dee Ford myself, like, much more than a bad call, like in the Rams-Saints, and much more than losing in overtime, even though we didn't get the ball, I would never truly get over losing the biggest game of my life in such idiotic fashion. Like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. How do you get over that? Defensive coordinator already got fired, which, I mean, their defense struggled all year, yes, but if they were in the Super Bowl, he probably would have stuck around for a little while. All these other guys in the Chiefs who may never play in a Super Bowl, maybe they will. I mean, there's always guys that come and go. The Chiefs could make the Super Bowl, and guys on this year's team won't be there. To lose, and I'm not trying to make Dee Ford the GOAT, but to lose like that is unforgivable. Like, it really is unforgivable. Like, how could you do that? How could you let your teammates down? On something, I don't mean a missed kick where you tried or a blown assignment where you got confused. I don't mean like physical football plays. I mean just lining up offside. I have no idea. I mean, to me, and I said earlier, imagine if the Bucs were in this other situation. Imagine if that happened to the Bucs. Because I remember Simeon Rice getting called for leaping, and that was a regular season game. In overtime against the Colts on Monday night and then losing that game, and that was bad enough. This is worse than leaping. Can you imagine the Bucs losing out on a chance to go to the Super Bowl because somebody lined up offside by like a foot on what ended up being a pick for your team to clinch the get? I would never get my head wrapped around that, and I hope for most of those guys' sake they get another chance someday because that was terrible. Now, as for overtime, I want to say something about overtime real quick. Because, you know, there's a lot of complaining going on and things like that about, hey, the Chiefs didn't get the ball in the NFL overtime system. They've never gotten it right, and they're still confused and things like that. Here's the thing about overtime. The only fair way to do overtime, and don't give me college overtime. College overtime is a joke. It's a red zone drill. It's something you do in practice. It takes too many elements out of the game. Football is played on a 100-yard field. There are offense, defense, and special teams for both teams. And I think to win a football game in overtime, you should be on offense and defense and special teams. So get the hell out of here with the college overtime. I don't need a 24-24 game with a 52-48 final or any of that crap. It's stupid. I hate it. I'll always hate it. So I'm not comparing it to college overtime. But to be perfectly fair, both teams need to have the same opportunity to do the same thing. It's as simple as that. So the most fair way to do an overtime is just like baseball extra innings, which is how college overtime is, except you just do actual football. Like whoever gets the ball first, you do a regular kickoff like they do now. If the Patriots score, or Team A, it's not even about the Patriots and the Chiefs. If Team A scores, now Team A kicks off and Team B has the ball. And if they score, you keep going. And basically, whoever is winning after an equal number of possessions for both teams wins the game. And that could be after the first possession. It could be after the fourth or the fifth. That's the only truly fair way to do it that stays true to the game of football. Now, is that feasible? Probably not. Maybe in the playoffs, because it's just the playoffs. You couldn't do it in the regular season. And I hate ties. But you can get some long, you know, what if one team scores a touchdown, another team scores, then both teams kick. You're getting into like four or five possessions. You could be playing an extra half of football. And you wouldn't even need to time any of this, but I mean, you could be playing the equivalent of an extra half of football. I understand that that may not be feasible. But that's the fair way to do it. Because all these people, and here we go again with people saying things that just defy all logic. I cannot tell you how many times on Twitter this past week I saw somebody say, hey, you know, that's kind of dumb that the Patriots score a touchdown and that's just it. You know, what if the Chiefs had also scored a touchdown? Why don't they get it? And everyone's like, oh, you know what? Try playing some defense, dude. Like, shut up and play some D. There's always those guys. There's always shut up and play defense guy. There's always, yeah, maybe try stopping someone, you know? What if the Chiefs had stopped someone? Do they win? No, don't be an idiot. Then they would have had to go score. Do you see how that works? One team only has to do one thing, while the other team has to do two things. Who's to say the Patriots' defense would have done the same thing? I mean, it's not like people say, oh, the Chiefs, it's their fault. They should have played defense. In the final five possessions of that game, okay, there were four touchdowns and a field goal. And the field goal was only because the Chiefs were running out of time and only needed a field goal to tie it, or they probably could have scored a touchdown again. So don't give me this, oh, they should have played defense. The Patriots could just as well have given the touchdown up if they'd been the ones that lost the coin toss. So I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about some... Now, if you said this, if you said, hey, one team can have the ball first, it's up to them, but this is the final possession of the game, so if you stop them on defense, then you win? Then that'd be fair, because then each team only has to do one thing. But don't give me this, hey, stop whining and play defense crap, when the other team may just as well have also not played defense. It's not like the Chiefs didn't score on two straight drives like a sickle through a ripe wheat field in the final few minutes of regulation. They could damn well have done the same thing. But no, it's just they should have played better defense. If they had, they still would have had to go score too. They would have had to do two things. The Patriots would have had to do one. So don't give me that. And it's one of those things, again,